Okay, today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Samach. We left off on daf Nun Tesamid Beis. We were right in the middle of the story of the day that they put Rabbi Lezer in Cherem, because we were in the story of Tanur Shel Achnoi, where they were discussing whether Tanur Shel Achnoi is Tahar or Tameh. Rabbi Lezer was Metar, the Chachamim were Metameh, and the Chachamim had outvoted Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer tried to prove his point by making a series of miracles occur. The Gemara had said, Lo b'shamayim hi, and then afterwards, they decided to put him in Cherem, and we left off where Rabbi Akiva had come, and Rabbi Akiva was Lobesh Shchorim, and he told the Rabbi Lezer that his friends had been Porish from him, and essentially telling him he was in Cherem. He removed his shoes, he sat on the ground, he ripped his clothing, and he began to cry, and because of that, there were many terrible things that happened in the world in the Zuchus of Rabbi Lezer, and because of his disappointment, and because he was upset. So we left off. I believe we left off somewhere on the let's pick up from the last medium-sized line toward the end of the line. Tana af gadol hayibosa yom shebekol makam shenosim bo einav Rabbi Lezer nisraf. That there was a terrible wrath of the Ribbono Shel Olam that was taken out of the world in that day, that anywhere Rabbi Lezer put his eyes would get burnt up. V'af Rav Gamliel hayibah b'sfina, and Rav Gamliel was traveling on a boat on that day. Amar alav nachshel l'tavo, and a huge wave threatened to drown the boat. Amar k'medumali shein zel b'shul Rabbi Lezer ben Horkunus. So Rav Gamliel realized that this is probably only happening on account of Rabbi Lezer ben Horkunus. Amr al Ragla v'Amar, Ribbono Shel Olam, Galoy v'Yodul l'Fenecha Shelo L'Chvod Yassisi V'Lo L'Chvod Beis Abba Assisi. So Rabbi Gamliel stood up on his feet and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know that you know that I didn't do this for my own honor. You know I didn't do this for the honor of my household. Elo L'Kvodcha, I did it for your honor, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shelo Yibru Machlokas B'Yisrael, that there shouldn't be an increase in Machlokas in Klal Yisrael. So Nachayam Yizafo. So that was enough to cause the sea to stop from raging, and the threat was over to Rabbi Gamliel. Ema Shalom debited Rabbi Lezer achted Rabbi Gamliel havai. Ema Shalom, Rabbi Lezer's wife happened to have been Rabbi Gamliel's sister. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, who got into this dispute, Rabbi Gamliel had to put Rabbi Lezer in Cherem, they were brothers-in-law. So Rabbi Gamliel's sister was married to Rabbi Lezer. And from the time this episode happened and on, she would never let Rabbi Lezer fall on his face to say Tachnun, because she was worried that if he would do so, it would be big problems for Rabbi Gamliel, because obviously he was very distressed by what had happened, and she was afraid that the Ribbono Shel Olam would take it out on Rabbi Gamliel. Ha'u yomer reish yar chahava. That day happened to have been Rosh Chodesh, v'ichuf la bein malei l'chaser, and she got confused between whether the previous month was a malei or it was a chaser, so she didn't know whether it was really Rosh Chodesh or not. So she thought maybe it was Rosh Chodesh, and therefore he's not going to do Nefilas Apayim, he's not going to say Tachnun, so that she doesn't have to pay close attention to him when he's davening. But in reality, it was not Rosh Chodesh, and he was going to do Nefilas Apayim. Ikeda Amri, Asa Anya V'Kaya Abava Afikole Rifta. Others say, no, what happened was that an Ani had come to the door, and she went to take care of the Ani, to give him some bread. But either way, Rabbi Lezer had some time by himself, without his wife watching over him. Ashkachte de Nafal Alanpe. She came back and she saw that he had already done Nefilas Apayim. He had already begun to say Tachnun. Amrle kum katal slachi. She said, "No, get up! You're killing my brother." Adahachi Nafak Shipurim Beis Rabbi Gamliel de Shachiv. And while as she was saying that, the shofros came out from the house of Rabbi Gamliel. The announcement came out from the house of Rabbi Gamliel that Rabbi Gamliel in fact had passed away. Amr la mi na yadata, so Rabbi Lezer said to his wife, how did you know that Rabbi Gamliel would be dead? Amr le, kach mekublani mi beis avi abba, she says, I have a mesorah from my grandfather's house. Kala sha'arim ninalim chutz mi shari ona'a. That all gates in heaven are closed off, are locked, except for the shari ona'a. And if you felt that you were insulted, so that gate of prayer is not going to be closed off. And I knew that the Ribbono Shel Olam would respond quickly. If you look at Tosos, mi beis avi abba, pirush bekuntros, mi beis David, avi mishpacha, shabas nesiyim haisa. It doesn't mean literally her grandfather, it goes way back, many generations. Meaning this is from the beis David, vehemi beis David. So she, when she says I have a Kabbalah from beis avi abba, she's actually referring to a Kabbalah from the beis David. In fact, the Maritz Chayis over here points out that he says, if you look in Brachos Daf Yud Amud Aleph, also Kach Mekublani Mi Beis Avi Abba Afilu Cheruv Chidu Menachos Al Tzavaru Al Yimna Min Arachamim, that there's a Kabbalah from Beis Avi Abba that even if someone has a sharp sword against their neck, they shouldn't stop to pray. And Rashi over there says that the Kavana is also on David, because David saw the Malach V'Charvo Shlufa, he saw the Malach with his sword drawn, and V'lo Manas V'min Arachamim, and he didn't stop to pray. He didn't stop praying, continued to pray. Tanu Rabbanan, Hama'ane Es Hager over B'Shlosh Alavin. If someone is not nice to a ger, they violate three lavin. V'aloch Tzon, if someone oppresses a ger, over B'Shnayim, he's in violation of two lavin. Maishna Ma'ane, D'Chsivi Shlosh Alavin, V'ger Losona, V'chiyagurit Chageb Aratzchem Losona Oso, and V'losona Wishes Amiso, V'ger B'chal Amiso Hu. So I understand very well when it talks about Ma'ane, there are three separate psukim that specifically refer to being Ma'ane Ger. Loch Tsunami Shlosh Ksivi, well, there are three psukim also that are referred to being Lochetz Ger. It says V'losach Slachetzenu, V'ger Loslachetz, V'losia Bo Kenosha, V'losia Lo Kenosha. All three, V'ger B'chal Hu. So all three definitely relate to a ger, and therefore it's three surim. Ela echad zev echad zev b'shloshes. You have to say that both being ma'ana and being a salachet to ger are violations of three surim daraisa. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Gadol Amar Mnei Mahes Hira Torah Belamed Vav Mekamos Va'amri La B'mem Vav Mekamos Beger. Why does the Torah go out of its way in 36 and some say 46 separate places to tell us to be nice to a ger, not to be mean to a ger? Why is there some dispute whether it's 36 or 46? Shouldn't we just be able to count how many times in the Torah says that you shouldn't be mean to a ger? So it also says Va'amri La B'mem Vav Geish Mefarish Mishum Dechashev Ki Ger Meyisem Echoyotze. That Kiger Meisim might also be counted. If you count every time it says Kiger Meisim Eretz Mitzrayim, that you too were Gerim in Eretz Mitzrayim, so then that would add to the number. But why so many times? Mipnesha Suro Ra. So says the Gemara, because he has a difficult time as it is. Maiduch Siv Ger Lo Son of Los Lach Tzenu Kiger Meisim Eretz Mitzrayim. What does the pasuk mean to say that? Why does the pasuk have to point out that you're not allowed to oppress a ger because we were gerim? Rabbi Nasan Omer Mum Shebuchal Tomer Lachavrucha. The pasuk is making the point that if you suffer from a given mum, you shouldn't go and point it out on your friend, that it's evident in yourself. You shouldn't go and say that person suffers from something when you have it yourself. And that's what people say. That if a person had somebody in his family who was hanged once, so he shouldn't tell somebody, go hang my fish for me. Meaning he should probably stay away from the word hang if someone in his family was once hanged, because that's not, it brings to mind what happened to his family. So too by us, when we go and we mock someone for being a ger, we should keep in mind that we too are gerim, so it's inappropriate to mock anybody else for being a ger. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah now. The very bottom of Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Ein ma'arvet peros b'peros. One is not allowed to mix different types of grains. Meaning, if Rashi understands the case is that you contract with somebody to sell him the grain of a certain field, and you want to mix in grain from another field together with that grain. You're not allowed to do that. Afilu chadashim chadashim, even if the grain you had contracted to sell was new grain, and you only want to mix in other new grain, even that's aser. Ve'ein tzarech lomar chadashim yishanim, and certainly to mix old grain with new grain is for sure going to be aser. Which Rashi writes, pasach limkar lo yishanim lo ya'ariv ben chadashim. If you contracted with him to sell old grain, don't stick in new grain. Now, wait a second, I would think that that's mashbiach. Sticking in new grain makes it better. New grain is better, isn't it? So says Rashi, Shayashanim Yaveshin Vosin Kemach Yosim and Achadashim. No, the old grain is drier and it's more brittle, and therefore will make finer flour, will make better flour than the new grain. The new grain is still a little soft, and to grind it up and make good flour, you want it to be a little bit old. So if you mix in new grain, you're actually going to be downgrading the grain. So it goes without saying that you're not allowed to mix chadashim b'yishanim. Be'emes amru b'yayin hetiru la'arif kasha barach mipreishu mashbicho. The Mishnah has an unusual lashon of be'emes amru, which the Gemara is going to discuss what that lashon means. But the Mishnah says the halacha is that with yayin, with wine, you're allowed to mix in kasha, strong wine, berach, on more mild wine, because sticking in a little strong wine to the mild wine is mashbicha, makes it better. It improves the quality of the wine. The Chavis Yari asks in a tshuva, in Simon Kuf Tzadi Beis, he says, if kasha is mashbiach, the rach, if you're improving it, so why such a strong lashon of Be'emes Amru? Be'emes Amru seems to be that the Mishnah says, look, we're emphatic about this. I know you might think otherwise. Why would you think otherwise? If you're being mashbiach it, so why would you think that you shouldn't be allowed to do it? Adrabi, you're making it better for the guy. So he says that maybe we would think that that you should not be allowed to put the kasha in the rach, lest you put rach in kasha. Meaning that if we allow you to improve it by putting a strong wine into mild wine, you might come to downgrade your strong wine by mixing mild wine into strong wine. Or he says maybe that it's possible that there were gozer on this taroves even during the season of fermenting wine, because you might come to be ma'arev during the rest of the year as well, where it's always bad for the wine. The Gemara is going to say soon that mixing wine is only good for it before it's totally gotten its character and its full flavor. Once the wine is fully developed and it has its full character and its full flavor, even mixing, putting a little strong wine into mild wine is going to be bad for it, because it takes away from the character of the wine. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, you're not supposed to mix the wine sediment together with the wine, but you can give the sediment together with the wine. So the Gemara is going to obviously ask, what does that mean? You just said you're not allowed to mix the sediment together with the wine, and now you say you're allowed to mix the sediment together with the wine. If someone has water mixed into his wine, someone mixes water into his wine, you can't sell it to the customer unless you let him know first that there's water mixed in, that the wine has been diluted. You can't sell it to a merchant, even if you do tell him what you have done, that it's diluted, because he might know that it's diluted, but there's no way he's going to tell his customers that it's diluted, so he's going to use your diluted wine to sell to his customers. Innocent customers aren't going to know any better. If the minig in the place where you are is to mix water into wine, so go ahead and do it. The merchant can buy from five different threshing floors and put it all in one silo to sell all together. He doesn't have to divide up all the grain that he gets from different threshing floors. Why not? So says Rashi, Shakol Yodin Boshalah Gadlu B'Sadosav. Everyone knows that the merchant isn't selling his own grain that he's grown in his own fields. And everyone knows he has a variety of suppliers. And they buy knowing that this grain originated from many different sources. And similarly, you're allowed to buy wine from five different wine presses if he's a tagger, if he's a merchant. He can buy wine from five different wine presses and put it all into one cask and sell it as one. As long as he doesn't try to mix it bedafka to downgrade the quality or to make it look like it's a better quality than it really is. But if he's not being miskaven la'ariv, it's just he has a limited number of wine casks that he can put wine into. He has a limited number of silos that he's able to put the grain together in. So obviously it's understood that he's going to mix once in a while. But the implication certainly is that if he has enough jars to put the wine into, if he has enough casks to put the wine into and keep it separate, then he should certainly do that. It's only once he runs out and he's not being miskaven la'ariv, he's just being ma'ariv because he has no choice, only at that point is it okay. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Ein Tzorach Lomar Chadashos Me'arba V'Yishanos Mishalos Shtein Me'arvin. Certainly, if the Chadashos cost 4 and the Yishanos cost 3, so certainly you can't mix them together. El Afil Chadashos Mishalos V'Yishanos Me'arba, even if the new ones cost 3 and the old ones cost 4, still Ein Me'arvin, you still can't mix them together. Me'ashadim Rotzali Ashton, because it could be that a person dafka wants the new ones, meaning even if the older ones are more expensive, you still shouldn't stick older grain into new grain, because it's possible that a person bedafka wants the less expensive one, the newer one, even though it's less expensive, because maybe he doesn't plan on grinding it up anytime soon, maybe he doesn't plan on making flour anytime soon, so he wants to have the opportunity to be miyashin it. As opposed to, so even though the older grain may be more valuable, maybe it's not doing him a favor when you give him older grain if you ordered new grain. Because maybe he doesn't want to grind his grain today. He wants to wait 6 months. And if he waits 6 months, but it's already old today, it's going to spoil by then. If he waits 6 months on the new grain, so then it'll be perfect in 6 months. It'll be ready to go. So you have to be honest with what you promised him and give him that same produce that you promised him. We said you're allowed to mix strong wine with put in a little bit of strong wine to the mild wine because it makes it better. Amra blazer ada amra. From here you see that anytime it says Be'emes Amru, that's got to be a halacha. That's got to be the halacha. How do you see that from here? That just because it uses the word Be'emes Amru, that it necessarily means it's the halacha. So Rashi points out, Be'emes halacha midiyav tam l'milsei m'pnei shemashbicho. From the fact that the Mishnah explains the halacha, it doesn't just say the halacha, it explains why that you're allowed to mix a little bit of strong wine with the mild wine, and it says mepnei shemashbicho, it's because the Mishnah is trying to stress that there's no room to be cholek here, that it's a davar pashut that this is correct. There's no room to be megamgem and to possibly say that maybe this isn't correct. So you see that on a halacha that there's no room to be cholek, the Mishnah uses the words be'emes amru. So that's how you know that the words be'emes amru are clearly used in the context of teaching me when something is definitely paskin d'halacha l'maisa. The problem with this is the achronim point out that in the Tosefta this in fact is a machlokas, and Tanakama says it's aser. Only Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. Tanakama in fact says it's aser, and our Mishnah is obviously going like Rabbi Yehuda and not like the Tanakama. So it's hard to say it's eifshar legamgim bedavar. You can't possibly argue on this. We know beferish that this is a machlokas in the Tosefta. So that's why some of the achronim explain what the Gemara means when it says, you see that be'emes amru has to be halacha, is that when Rebbe was misad to the Mishnayis, obviously he wanted to make the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, right? And that's why he included Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in the Mishnah. But lest someone come along and say, no, there's a Tosefta not like that, and this Mishnah is only like Rabbi Yehuda, but yachid v'rabim halacha karabim, and we should paskin like the Chachamim. So Rebbe added in these words, be'emes amru, bedafka, to teach you that you should follow Shitas Rabbi Yehuda over here. So maybe that's the diuk. From the fact that Rebbe added in the words be'emes amru, it's not because there's no room to be chalik, like Rashi says. No, there's plenty of room to be chalik. But Rebbe tried to be emphatic that this is the halacha. How did he choose to be emphatic that this is the halacha? By throwing in the words be'emes amru. So you see that the words be'emes amru always teach me that something is the halacha. The third approach over here is the Rambam. The Rambam writes, and it's quoted by the Maariv Chayis over here as well. The Rambam writes in his Hakdama to the Perush Mishnayis that whenever it says be'emes amru, it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. That the words be'emes amru always mean halacha l'Moshe Misinai, and the Rambam quotes this as one of the examples of something that's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. In the Yerushalmi, it has a number of Mishnayis where it uses the word be'emes amru, and it says about all of them that it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. However, on this Mishnah, the Yerushalmi does not say it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Interestingly, the Yerushalmi never mentions that this be'emes amru means halacha l'Moshe Misinai. The Maariv Chayis points out that ain't svara al inyanim ke'elu she'enam rak min hagim be'iske maso matan she halacha l'Moshe Misinai. He says, logically, it doesn't seem that this should be halacha l'Moshe Misinai, because this is issues of business and what the practice was in business and what people assume when they buy things and sell things. It's not logical that should be halacha l'Moshe Misinai. That sounds much more like dinim d'rabanan than halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So the Maariv Chayis points out that it's not mistaber so much to say that this be'emes amru should mean halacha l'Moshe Misinai. In fact, in Maseches Shabbos it says be'emes amru hachazan roa hechana tinokos korin, that the melamed of the young children can take a look and see where the children are reading from when he's teaching them on Shabbos. You don't have to worry about leaning the candles over and chashash the shemi yichaber or something. And it's used the lashon of be'emes amru. And clearly over there it's only talking about a din d'rabanan. And yet it still uses such a lashon of be'emes amru. It happens to be on that mission itself, the Yerushalmi says, oh, you see, be'emes amru is halacha l'Moshe Misinai, which is also a little bit strange. The Bir Adaf over here quotes from the Sefer Lechem Shemayim, who says that perhaps many of the gzeros chazal, that in fact we have only as dinim drabanan, initially were halachos l'moshe mishsinai that were forgotten and then reinstituted by chazal. So that's why you might find the lashon ba'emes amru by dinim that we think of as purely dinim drabanan, because it could be that they were forgotten and the originally were halach l'moshe mishsinai were forgotten and then were then reinstituted. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Nachman u'bein agitos shana, that this is only talking in the season of wine production. That's when we say you're allowed to mix a little bit of harsher wine with a little bit of mild with the mild wine. V'ila dekama arvi shalo bein agitos, Amar Rav Papa diyadi v'kamachli. Aye, nowadays they mix the wines even though it's not the wine making season. That's because people know that that's the practice and they're mochel and therefore it's okay. Ravacha b'rid Ravika Amar Hamani Rabbi Yachihi. The time Rabbi Yachihi matu b'davar anitam. He said, no, we assume like Rabbi Yachihi, who says that it's okay as long as it's something that people taste before they purchase. It's like in Baskin Robbins, you get the little taste of the ice cream before you buy it, so then it's okay. They could have mixed the chocolate with the vanilla and whatever else, and it's fine, because as long as you get to taste it and you get to see what it is that you're buying, then we don't have to worry that maybe the quality is less than you would expect because it's been mixed together. You should be able to taste that prior to purchasing it. And that's why the minhag is that we mix wine even when it's not during the wine making season. The Mishnah had said what seems like a direct stira, that you're not allowed to mix the wine sediment with the wine, but you're allowed to give the wine sediment together with the wine. But didn't the Reisha say you're not allowed to mix it together? And maybe you're going to say, no, you're only allowed to give the sediment when you let him know that you had given it. From the fact that it says in the Sefer that you're not allowed to sell to customers unless you let them know, and to a merchant even if you do let him know, sounds like in the case of the Reisha with the wine sediment, we're talking about even though you didn't let him know, it's still you're going to be allowed to do it. So I'm reviewing the Hachikamer. This is what the Mishnah means to say. You can't take yesterday's wine sediment and mix it with today's wine. Nor vice versa. But you can take its own wine sediment and mix it with it. If someone slowly pours out wine for his friend in a way that the sediment is left in the original bottle, it doesn't pour out the sediment with it, you can't mix in yesterday's wine sediment with today's wine, nor the reverse. But you can mix in today's wine sediment with today's wine and yesterday's with yesterday's, and that's fine. That if a person has water mixed in with his wine, he shouldn't sell it in the store unless he lets the guy know, unless he informs the guy. So Rava Aisu Bechamru Mechanusu. So the Gemara tells a story that they had bought wine for Rava from the store. Mazgei Ta'ame. Rava diluted the wine with water, then he tasted it. Love a busman. He didn't like the way it tasted. Shadre lechanusa. So he said, return this wine. He returned it to the store. Amle Abayeva, nantanam v'lotagar af pishodio. But doesn't our Mishnah say, Abaye asked Rava, doesn't our Mishnah say, you're not allowed to give diluted wine to a storekeeper because he's not going to tell his customers that it's diluted and he's going to cheat the customers? Amalei Mazgadidi made the idea. Rava says, I've diluted it so much that the customer would have to be a fool not to realize that it's diluted. Meaning it's so obvious, the color, its texture, it's so obvious that my wine, the way I diluted it, that it's been diluted, that we don't have to worry about it. V'chitema ditafi mechaylei mazvanei. Maybe you should be concerned that, yeah, Rava might have diluted it a lot, but he'll give it back to the storekeeper. The storekeeper will add a little bit more undiluted wine to it to bring the dilution ratio down a little bit to make it less obvious, and then he'll sell it. Imkene and Ludav herself. No, you don't have to worry about that, because then it's really ridiculous. Same Ludav herself. Rashi says, because then you shouldn't be allowed to give water to a storekeeper either, because you could add wine to that also and say that it hasn't been diluted. So obviously, it's only when the finished product that you're giving to the storekeeper is something that he can use to cheat somebody with, that's the only time you have a problem. Any other time, there would not be any issue with that. There wouldn't be any problem with it. Tosfos over here has a discussion about Rava's minhag of diluting wine. Tosfos points out that the girsa over here has to be Rava and not Rabba, because we do find elsewhere in Shas, Maseches Nedarim, Maseches Erevin, that Rava in general, diluted wine a lot. And he says that's why it makes sense what the Gemara says in Shabbos that kol chamra delo dari al chad tlas maya lav chamrahu, that any wine that doesn't have 1/3 water is not considered good wine, meaning you need to have 1/3 of it to be water. And yet in Maseches Sanhedrin it says we darshan a pasuk al yechzar amazeg, when the Gemara talks about how many members of the Sanhedrin have to still be there for the Sanhedrin to remain in session, meaning there were 71 members of the Sanhedrin Gedola. So how many of them had to still be sitting there in order for them to hear cases? You can't possibly require that all 71 judges have to be there. Somebody's going to have somewhere to go, you know, at any given time when you have that many judges. So how many have to be there? So the Gemara darshan from the pasuk al yechzar amazeg, that don't dilute it. So shem hutzchu mehem latzeis im yesham chaf gimel kenegas anedrik katana yotzim vim lavein yotzim, that if you have 23 judges like a Sanhedrin katana, that's good enough. Mashma de meziga al chatre, sounds like the meziga based on the Gemara Sanhedrin is a 2-to-1 ratio. Yet in Shabbos it says that meziga, normal meziga, is a 3-to-1 ratio. So is it 2-to-1 or is it 3-to-1? So it says Tosos, now I understand very well that in Sanhedrin when it says a 2-to-1 ratio, that's the way normal people do the meziga. 3-to-1 ratio is Rava's meziga. Rava's mosaic, a lot more water to the wine. Right, and that would explain the difference. And that would explain why Rava says I dilute my stuff so much that everyone would know that it's diluted. It's interesting. The Tosfos at the end of here quotes from Harav Menachem Yoni, who explains that al yechzar mazeg, that the drasha about the Sanhedrin al yechzar mazeg is actually a gematria. That in reality, the Gemara is telling us a gematria. It's very rare that the Gemara uses a gematria to teach me halacha. Right? We know the only real din d'oraisa that's explicitly a gematria in Shas is the halacha that stam nezirus is shloshim yom. Right? The Gemara darshins that yihiyeh, from the fact that the Torah uses the word yihiyeh, and the gematria of yihiyeh is 30, so that's when we know that a stam nezirus is 30 days. But it's very rare to have a din d'oraisa that's derived from a gematria. Gematria is not one of the yud gimel midos Shatar and Dresh's pen. But says this Rishon, the Tosfos quotes Rabbi Menachem Yoni, that in fact the Gemara in Sanhedrin is really using a gematria to teach me the din of how many judges need to be left. Why? Because it says al yechzra hamazeg. What's the gematria of mazeg? Is 50. Shalo yechzru nun mi Sanhedrin Gedola, that you shouldn't have 50 people missing from the Sanhedrin Gedola. Meaning, how many can you have missing from the Sanhedrin Gedola? Well, less than 50, 49. Which leaves how many? 22. But obviously you can't have 22 judges, right? You can't have a Sanhedrin that's exactly even. It's an even number of judges. So you need to add one. So that's how we know you have to have at least 23 judges in order for Sanhedrin Gedola to stay in session. That's the drasha. He understands that it's in fact a gematria. Says Gemara Vayter, Malkum shnogu lahatil mayim b'yayin yatilu. If a minig is to dilute the wine with water, you're allowed to do it. Tanu l'metzal l'shushal l'rviya. Right, you're allowed to dilute it halfway, a third, or a quarter. Amar avu ben agito shanu, provided that it's still in the wine producing season. New Mishnah. Rabbi Yudah Amar lo yichalik achen v'ni klayus v'agozim l'tinokos m'neshu margidlan lavo etzlo, that you're not allowed to give nuts and candies to children, because it really means just different types of roasted nuts to children, because that's going to cause them to come frequently to your store, and meaning every time the parent sends the kid on an errand, the kid's not going to care where he's going to be able to get the best deal for the parent. He's just going to come to the store that gives him candy. So you're not supposed to do that, because it's going to bring the kids into the store, and that's an unfair business practice. It's predatory business practice. The Chum Matir and the Chum say that's totally mutter. The Gemara will explain why. V'lo yivchos es hashar, v'chamra muzachar l'tov. You shouldn't make a sale where you're selling things way below market value. The Chum say, no, adrabah. Good idea, wonderful. That'll bring the prices down. That's good for the consumer. Lo yavor es hagrisin, divrei abishal. You shouldn't sift out the bad stuff, the from crushed beans. According to Abishal, v'cham matir, the Chum say, absolutely, that's fine. But everyone agrees that you shouldn't only sift out the top layer. You know, it's like you sell a big basket full of these crushed beans, and you sifted out the junk from only the very top. So a person's going to see it, and it's going to look like the whole thing was sifted, but really only on the top it's sifted. It's like when you buy strawberries sometimes in a little basket, so they'll put the nice strawberries on top, and all the ones on the bottom are rotten. So that's aser. You're not allowed to do that, because you can't make only the top look nice and the rest look bad. Tosfos Yontif even goes so far as to say, he says, why does the Mishnah use the lashon of kigone v'sa'ayin? Isn't this mamish gone v'sa'ayin? Why it's kigone v'sa'ayin? So says the Tosfos Yontif on this Mishnah that even if you tell the guy that you've only sifted the top ones and that the bottom ones have not been sifted, it's still going to be aser. Because still the general impression he gets of it when he looks at it, right, your original view of something, the original sighting of something, gives the first impression, which makes a big difference. So even though intellectually you know that it hasn't all been sifted, but it looks so good, right? Because and that's usher too, because that's kigon evasayin. It's not literally gon evasayin, because you told him what's underneath it, but that's kigon evasayin. That's how Tosfos Yontif suggests. Not all the Echronim agree with that, but that's how Tosfos Yontif suggests. You're also not allowed to beautify Adam and Kalim. You're not allowed to beautify different and behemos when it comes to selling them, meaning you're going to make them look more beautiful than they really are, and that's not right. The Rashi says the Adam that we're talking about is an Eved Kanani. You're trying to sell an Eved Kanani. You shouldn't beautify him in a way that makes him look better than he is. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly what kind of case that's talking about. Rashi, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden rather says that Rashi Bedavka says Eved Kanani because by an Eved Ivri, since it's a mitzvah to support, to be mefarnes Aniyei Yisrael, and Eved Ivri only comes about because he's an Ani and he Nebuch needs the money, so you're allowed to beautify him for in order to get him hired, in order to get people to be mefarnes him. And then he says, the more practical example, he says, what about when it comes to Shiduchim? Yet, so you have an ugly girl, and you want her to get a shidduch. Can you get her a professional makeover or whatever that's will last whatever the first few dates? Or while she's dating, she'll look that way, but she's not going to constantly have these makeovers or whatever. It's not going to last, and she's going to look eventually not so good. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, "Mutal lefarches uliyafos habas lekatcha lahagun shetimtzachin beinav afilu hikuura." That it's absolutely mutter in order to help a girl find a shidduch to make her look very beautiful. However, he says that's only if she's just ugly. But if she has some sort of mum, that's like a really terrible mum, that's going to make someone want to cancel the shidduch. That's not just that she's not such a good-looking girl, but she has some sort of terrible mum that you're trying to hide. He said, that's terrible. That you can't do to the guy, and you can't do it to the girl either, because it's going to ruin her. What's going to happen? She's going to get married, the husband's going to discover the mum, and he's going to divorce her, and she's not even going to get a ksuba, because it was a mekach tos. So that's a terrible thing to do to her. It's going to put her in a very terrible spot. So then you're not allowed to do that. He says, what if the girl is much older and she's graying? Can she dye her hair in order to find the shidduch? So he says, if she's too old to have children, then you shouldn't do that, because then it's really a terrible gnevus das on the prospective husband. He's going to think she's young enough to have children, and she's going to lie about her age. Rav Zilberstein had a shaila where a girl, a 30-year-old girl, had claimed she was 20, and for shidduchim purposes. So in some communities, it's known that when you say someone is a certain age, they know that to subtract 5 years from that. They just know that that you always lie. I just heard of such a thing. Sometimes that's mamash davri yadua. But in most normal places, that's not so well known. But anyway, it's a complicated sugya. Anyway, says Gemara, why did the Rabbanan say you can't, that you're allowed to give out candy? Isn't that predatory? Aren't you pulling the kids into your store? So Adamaleya, Nama Flignam Gozi, Vaat Palak Shiski. Because the guy could say, look, I'll give out nuts, you go give out prunes. Meaning, no one's stopping you from doing the same thing. Right? This reminds me of what Gavri said on Shavuos night, the greatest riot, that they did not yet have chocolate in the times of the Gemara, is that they were giving out nuts and prunes to the kids. That's how they attracted the kids. Unbelievable what the kids like. Okay, anyway, v'lo yivcho es ha-shar v'chamram zachar l'tov. You shouldn't go and make sale prices. And the Chum said, no, adarabba, it's a wonderful thing to make a sale. It's a great thing to sell things for cheap. My time with the Rabbanon, why did the Rabbanon think it's such a great idea to sell things for cheap? Nishum t'kam meravich. Litara, because that will lower the prices for the consumer. That will be good for everybody. You're not allowed to sift out the junk from the crushed beans. According to Abishal, the Chacham say you are allowed to. Man Chachamim, who are the Chacham? Rabbi Acha, the Tanya, Rabbi Acha, Matir, B'davar HaNira. The Chachamim are Rabbi Acha, because Rabbi Acha is the one that says that it's mutter if it's something that's evident to the eye, that you can see it right away, that it was done. So that's fine. Ema Farchas and Losa Adam, V'chulev Losa Kelim. Right? The Mishnah said you're not allowed to beautify a person, a behema, or kelim in order to sell them. Tanra banan, aim the sharbatin as a behema. You're not allowed to make the behema's hair look specially nice. Ve'in novchim bekirbayim, nor are you allowed to swell up the intestines of the behema in order to make it look specially fat. Ve'in shorin as a basar b'mayim, and you can't soak meat in water. Ma'ayin misharbatin. What does it mean that you can't be misharbat? You can't make the hair stand up and look nice. Hachatagimu ma'ayid chizrov. Here they said it's by feeding it a certain type of drink, a brand drink that would make the hair look nicer. Ziri yomer avkana mas kavta. Now that they would brush it in a certain way, that would make it look nicer. Shmuel sharu lemir matumi l'sarvla. Shmuel would allow you to put silk fringes on the edge of a garment. Rabbi Yehuda sharu l'chusei karmi rabba. Rav Yehuda would allow to starch karmi. Karmi Rashi says, "Gadim amatsuyarim, our clothing that has nice images on it, nice patterns on it." Rabba sharu lemedek tzardi. Rabba allowed to beat canvas in order to make it look nice. Rava Charlotte Sulumigiri, Rava allowed to paint arrows on clothing to make it look nice. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Charlotte Sulumi Dikule, he allowed painting baskets on it. But isn't all this against the Mishnah when the Mishnah said you're not supposed to beautify things that you're trying to sell? Lokasha, habachadati abatiki. No, one is talking about old and one is talking about new. Which is old, which is new? When it comes to something that's new, so it's mutter to make it look beautiful because you're making a genuinely good, brand new item look even more beautiful. When it comes to something that's old, very often in the attempt to beautify it, you're actually making it look newer than it is, rather than just nicer than it is. To make something look nice, so good, so adraba, it actually is nice. Meaning all you're doing is changing its appearance, and the appearance actually is nicer. But if you're going to take something old and make it look new, that's where you have a problem. That's where it's going to be usher. We had a situation in one of the stores in the neighborhood many years ago. It's under different ownership now, partially because of this, that they were coloring their meat. They were selling meat, and they were coloring older meat and making it red and whatever and making it look like nicer meat. So that's mamash usher. So people were saying, there was no kashrus violation in that store. It's a choshen mishpat violation, a very major choshen mishpat violation in that store. Anyway, okay. Pirchus to Adamaihi. So what's the pirchus of Adam? What's the situation? What do we call pirchus on a person? How do you make a person look beautiful in order to sell him? So kiyada hu avdus abada azal tzavi l'reishe l'diknei. It's like this old eved that was trying to sell himself. So he colored his hair and his beard black to make it look like he was young. Asal kamedu rava amale zivnon. So he went to Rava and he said, Rava, buy me. Rashi says he's an Eved Kanani, meaning he was obviously not an Eved Ivri, because Eved Ivri is usher to have after the Chorban HaBayis. We no longer have Yovel Noeg, so there's no longer Eved Ivri that's Noeg. So he's definitely an Eved Kanani, Rashi says. So the guy went to Rava and he said, I want you to buy me as an Eved. Rava said, I'm sorry, I can't buy you as an Eved, because there's a mitzvah to make Aniyim b'nei Beischa in order to support Aniyim, to only have Aniyim in my house to support, so I don't want to buy an Eved Kanani, I'd much rather have a Jew who I can support. Asal kamed Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, so he went to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. Zavne, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel had no such inhibitions. He went and he bought him. Yom echad amalei ashki on maya. One day Rav Papa Bar Shmuel says, can you go fetch me some water? Azal chavre l'reishe l'dikne. The guy went and he washed off all the dye from his hair and from his beard, and it became evident that he was an old man. So he went back to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, who had asked him for water, and he said, how could you ask me for water? Look, I'm an old man, I'm older than your father. How could you have the chutzpah to ask me to get you water? So Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said, oh, you see, it's tzaddik is saved from the tzara. Rava was saved from the tzara by not buying this guy, and someone else comes and has to suffer that tzara, and that's why I'm suffering the tzara that I Nebuch came and I bought this guy, and that's why I have to deal with this. I made the point of saying that Rashi says that we're talking about a Neved Kanani. The Ravid thinks that we're talking about a Jew who's being maskir himself. Granted, there's no such thing as Neved Ivri, but he's being maskir himself for a year or two, and that's why he said, look, you shouldn't be mishabed me when I'm an old man. You have to have respect for your elders, for your Jewish elders. The Rashi, however, asks on the Ravid, how can you say it's a Jew when the guy said, I want you to buy me, Rava? Rava said, no, because you're supposed to have ani and b'nei beischa. What do you mean? That's exactly what I am. I'm a Jewish ani, and I want you to support me, to buy me. So why did Rava refuse if, in fact, he was a Jew? So that's the difficulty with the Ravid's pshat. The difficulty with Rashi's pshat is that an Eved Kanani can't sell himself. If he's not been mishtachrer, then he's still owned by the previous master. If he has been freed, then he's a Jew. An Eved Kanani is never at a point where he has a din of an Eved Kanani, but he's able to sell himself. That's the major problem with Rashi. The Rash was miyashe for Rashi, that maybe Rashi is talking about an Eved Kanani who the master was mafkir him, but never wrote him a get shichrer. Maybe he was mafkirim, so he doesn't have any kinyan mamon, but the kinyan nisr is still there. He's still assuming that you hold that a master who's mafkir is Eved Kanani is still tzarech get shichrur. He's still going to have kinyan nisr. So maybe that's the case that Rashi is talking about. But it's a bit of a stretch. You have to realize it's a bit of a reach. It's difficult no matter which way you say. Just one more parenthetical point, and we'll try to get the Mishnah done. Is that when we say that you beautify a person, and the example we give is by coloring his hair. So Rav Meir Arik in his Sefer Tel Torah points out that why does the Mishnah have to tell me that this is aser midino na'a? It's aser anyway because a man is not allowed to color his hair because of the isra of lo yilbash gever simlas isha. And a man's not allowed to do feminine things. He's not allowed to and coloring his hair is one of them. So that's only obviously if it's the type of thing where it's going to be, meaning from the Gnevis Das perspective, from the Anar perspective, it's only if he's genuinely old. A lot of times people gray prematurely. I have high school students, you know, that have gray hair. And obviously for them, it's not Gnevis Das for them to color their hair. They're just coloring their hair to make it look like they are their age and that they're not way older than they in fact are. But anyway, isn't it a problem with Yudhish Gavar Simlas Isha? So you say, He says that the Mishnah is talking about that even Neved Kanani, who is lo mal v'lo taval, so he's not included in the iser of lo yilbash, still it's aser to beautify him midino na'a, to try to go ahead and to sell him. Okay, says the Mishnah, which is trying to get a start to Ezev and Neshech. There are two isurim, there's something called Neshech, something called Tarbis. Neshech, the focus is on the person who's getting bitten by the ribbis, the person who's getting hurt by it. Tarbis is the isur on the person who's gaining, that you shouldn't gain from ribbis. So Ezev Neshech v'Ezev Tarbis. Ezev Neshech, Hamal v'sela behedi narin, sasayim chitin b'shalosh, aser, m'bnei shu noshech. If you lend a sella in exchange for 5 dinars, or 2 sas of chitin in exchange for 3, that's us, because that's no sheikh, that's biting away at the person who borrowed. Ve'ezehu tarbis, what's tarbis? Hamar bepeiros, someone who tries to make a profit on his peiros. Ketzad, how so? Lokach imenu chitin bedinar zahav hakur, and v'chein ashar, a guy buys wheat for a dinar zahav, and that's in fact what the price is. A dinar zav is 25 dinari kesef, and that was the fair price. But then, before he paid it, amdu chitin balam dinarin, before the guy received his wheat, right, the chitin went up in price, and now that same amount of wheat costs 30 dinars, meaning costs 5 more, it went up in price. Amarlo, tein li chitai. So the guy says, okay, look, I want my wheat now. Now that you owe me you owe me that amount of wheat, give me the wheat. Shani wrote to the Mochran, V'likach ben yayin, give me the amount of wheat, the core of wheat that you owe me, which really initially cost 25, but now it costs 30, because I want to use that wheat to exchange it for wine. And I want 30 dinars worth of wine. Amarlo, and the borrower said, you know what? Harechitecha asuya salai b'shloshim. Let me not give you the wheat. We'll assume I owe you 30 dinars instead, because that's what the wheat is actually worth now. even though all I lent you was, all I gave you was 25 dinars. But now I owe you 30 because that's what the wheat is worth. And I'll owe you wine worth 30 dinars. And he happens to not have wine worth 30 dinars at the time. So that's called tarbis, that he's being marba bin chasim by lending produce and the produce going up in value and taking a higher price for later. Obviously, the Gemara is going to explain in much more detail exactly what's going on. Bez Hashem will pick up from the Gemara tomorrow.